This morning I'll be preaching from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. Listen to God's word, beginning in verse 22, actually. Sorry about that. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem. It was verse 21. Let me go back, start over again. Verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. As I've been doing recently with my messages in coordination with the family devotional, I have a question for the children to start out with. What does it feel like when you are waiting for a special day to come? Maybe you're waiting for your birthday, or maybe you're waiting for Christmas to arrive. Maybe you're waiting for a new baby brother or sister to be born, and it seems like that day will never get there. It's full of lots of excitement and anticipation, but also a wondering, is today the day? Well, there's something of that type of anticipation that comes through in this account. Simeon was waiting. Simeon was waiting for Jesus. He is the Savior that had been promised from the very beginning of the world. We've seen that promise in the messages and in the devotions that go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and the promise that God would send a Savior that would crush the head of the serpent. Well, now we come to the point where Simeon, who was waiting and waiting for Jesus to come, he finally sees him. And what a joy it is to be blessed by the peace of Jesus Christ. We've been meditating on the fact that Jesus has come to save us from our sins. And for today, from Simeon, let us celebrate the fact that you may find peace in Jesus. I'm going to start by giving you just a little bit of background and explanation about this man, Simeon. I've summarized it in this way on your outline, that Simeon was waiting for Jesus. Simeon is a very interesting figure. He only appears in these 11 verses of the Bible. You don't find him anywhere else. He's just right here in the Gospel of Luke. And yet his story paints this vivid picture of expectation, of waiting on the Lord. Luke describes him as just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, being filled with the Holy Spirit. With those simple words, we come to know that Simeon, we come to know Simeon as one who was well known in his community, is well respected. Luke calls him just, another word for righteous, someone who is living out his faith, following after the law of God. He was devout. This was no mere external religion for him. This was a religion of the heart, and he is living that out. But most curious is this description of Simeon, that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, that's a title for Jesus, and I'll come back to define what it is that is the consolation of Israel. But for now, I want you to see that he was a man of faith who was waiting for Jesus. Just think about that aspect of waiting and longing for an expected day to arrive. And this expected day is greater than anything that you could ever experience in this life. It is the coming of the promise of the Savior, Jesus. It comes through that eager anticipation. It comes through in the way Simeon talks about what is happening. He says, "Now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." And in that phrase, you have this sense of a man who had been given this promise, but then who had waited for what seems to be a long time for the promise to be fulfilled. And he had remained faithful. He's something like a soldier on his watch, faithfully discharging his duty, and now comes to the end, finally comes to the end, when Jesus comes, and he understands by God's Spirit that this is the promise he had received. This is the Savior of Israel. And like a soldier coming to the end of his watch, God comes to Simeon and dismisses him in peace. What a blessed promise that is. He is dismissed with peace. I emphasize that today because Christmas is a time in which we often think about the peace that comes in Jesus Christ. He's called the Prince of Peace. There's peace that we have because God is with us. It was in the words of the angels. It's all throughout the scriptures that God would bring us peace. But I also find that during the Christmas and Thanksgiving holidays, that there is actually a great deal of unrest, a disturbance of our peace. That comes from a lot of different angles. It comes from the busyness of the period. This year it comes from the weight of the pandemic that has thrown our normal loved family times into chaos. But it can also be a time where you go through a special family time without a loved one. And the absence of a loved one can press upon us. Whatever the source, you may have arrived here today longing for peace and having your spirit just kind of in a turmoil today. Well, I would invite you to consider Simeon's faith and the peace that God gives to him. I want you to let these truths of Jesus Christ give you peace as well. I want to focus on Simeon's expectation and the peace he receives in two ways. They both have to do with his faith. First, I want to look at his faith in action, and then his faith realized. As we meet Simeon, it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What an interesting phrase, isn't it? The consolation of Israel. The word consolation is actually a very rich biblical word, but it's lost some of its shine in our society today. If we were to do a word association game, if I say consolation, the thing that came first into my mind, and maybe comes first in your mind as well, is prize. Consolation prize. And what's a consolation prize? Well, it's something you get if you weren't the first place winner. Our family likes to take different things to our county fair, artwork or food that's prepared. And I know some of you like to do that too. And there are a variety of ribbons that are given out to the participants. There is a first place ribbon and a second and a third. And then there's this grand champion ribbon and a circle at the fair that if your art or your submission is deemed the best, it goes into the grand champion circle. And then there is a ribbon for children that if they weren't first or second or third, it is a participant's ribbon. It is a consolation prize. And it seems like as adults and as maybe I see some of you laughing a little bit about this, maybe you reached a point in your age where you got the participant's award and you thought, oh, well, I didn't get a special ribbon. And sometimes we think of that as a consolation prize. And we think of it as something lesser. That's why I say it's kind of tainted in our language today. But you know what? That view of a consolation prize is really an adult idea of consolation. I want you to take you back to your childhood, or take you back to remember the joy of your children when they got a ribbon. And it didn't matter what color it was. And they took that ribbon home, and even though it was a consolation prize, they proudly showed that to you. And they hung it up on the doorknob of their bedroom. And it stayed there for years because they were so proud of that ribbon they received. Simeon had a childlike faith that is actually quite profound. It takes joy in the award or the gift that God gives in Jesus Christ. It is consolation in that it addresses something sad. It addresses our sin. You and I don't deserve first prize, even second or third, let alone the grand champion. But God has loved us in Jesus Christ. And that's consolation. In fact, the gospel is all about consolation. Because God comes and addresses us in our need. He addresses us in our poverty. And in Jesus Christ, he makes us rich. He gives us an award that we have not deserved. It is really consolation. And that word actually can be translated comfort. It's the word that is also used to describe when Jesus said that he would send his Spirit, the Comforter. It's the Paraclete. That's the same word that is used here. In this case, Jesus is the Comforter. Jesus is the one who comes and comforts those who need salvation. And that's what Simeon was longing for. He was longing for the one that had been promised from the very fact of sin entering the world that we saw in the Garden of Eden. There God said, I will send a Redeemer who will crush the head of the serpent. And that's Jesus. And that promise runs then throughout the prophets of the Old Testament. It is announced by the angels. It is announced by Zacharias. It is announced by Gabriel that Jesus has come. That long-awaited comforter, that long-awaited consolation is none other than Jesus. That's what Simeon was waiting for. And when you think about it, the gospel is all about this consolation, is all about the peace that we receive in Jesus Christ. As you trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord extends to you and embraces you with a peace that cannot be taken away. It's not dependent on any outward circumstances. It's not dependent upon times of prosperity or poverty or persecution. The promises of God are the same in times of joy and sorrow, times of celebration and mourning. It is peace that comes from God. And Simeon grasped that in Jesus Christ, in the coming of the fulfillment of his promises. In contrast, without Jesus, you know that deep down something isn't right. Your heart is not at peace. And even as a child, you know this. There are things about your life that lead you to be unhappy and dissatisfied. And there's a sense of longing and waiting for something to be made right. And you may even be thinking, how can I find this type of joy that I see in my family and my friends? Maybe I can have happiness if I fill that void in my heart with money or with lots of friends around me. There are many things that you may seek out to fill that chaos that is in your heart. It is actually a shape in our hearts that is shaped like Jesus. It is the consolation of Israel that is described here. He is the one who has been given to bring us peace with God. And that's what Simeon grasped. That's what Simeon anticipated, and it's where his faith lies. And his faith, I'm describing here, as a faith in action. He was waiting for the Lord, the consolation of Israel, but it wasn't just sitting back and doing nothing. His waiting is an expectant waiting, an active waiting. He expected to see his Savior. Why? Well, because God had promised it. He could stand on what God had said. God had told him, "You will not die until you see the Lord's Christ." And he stands on that promise of God and expects for that promise to be fulfilled. And you can tell by the way he lived his life. He was known in his community as being just and devout. He wasn't a hermit waiting, reclining in his easy chair for Jesus to plop down in his lap. Instead, he went about his life with that expectation, living out his faith in a way that people could see he was following God. He was righteous. And he was devout. As I said, it wasn't a mere external. It was a heartfelt obedience to God that was recognized in his community. They could tell that this was a man that was blessed by God, that the Holy Spirit was upon, who was waiting for the consummation of Israel. And so he went about his life, and he went to the temple to worship God, which was where that proclamation of peace was heard in the Old Testament setting. And in God's providence, at the same time, this day that he went in the Spirit, that he met Jesus. Mary and Joseph were bringing him there, and there he met Jesus. Before I come to that faith being realized, let's just pause and think about what a beautiful position it is to wait upon the Lord. It's really a thoughtful way to describe what your faith is, to wait upon the Lord, to wait expectantly upon the Lord. It has this idea of grasping the promises of God and saying, these things God has done for me, and accepts them by faith. It accepts that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sin. It accepts that there is no one who can take you out of his grasp. It accepts that there is a day that you anticipate that you will see Jesus face to face. These things are a matter of faith that are buffeted sometimes by our outward circumstances. Circumstances of trouble, of pandemic, of distraction because of prosperity, of temptation, of indwelling sin. It's a time that we can go back, like Simeon, to the promises of God and let our faith actively rest in what Christ has done for us. So let's go on to the high point of this passage, where Simeon's faith is realized. Not only did he wait actively for the coming of Christ, that waiting wasn't in vain. God kept his word. And Simeon did not die before he saw Jesus Christ. Not only did he see him, but there's a tenderness to this setting. He held his Savior in his arms, and by the Spirit, he speaks about this beautiful fulfillment, this beautiful reward of Simeon's faith that God gives to him. Simeon was following that leading of the Spirit. They came to the temple just as Mary and Joseph were coming there too. They came to fulfill the law of God that is contained in Moses. There were two sacrifices that were to be made that represent the sin that claims all mankind descending from Adam. A woman was to be cleansed after childbirth. Remember the curse that came upon Adam and Eve, especially in pain, you will bear children, and effects of the fall that are cleansed by a sacrifice. And not only that, but the firstborn was to be redeemed. The firstborn was holy unto the Lord and was redeemed by a sacrifice, a lamb, or for those who were in poverty, a turtle dove or two pigeons. This too was a sign of God claiming sinners to belong to himself. And Jesus came in fulfillment of the law. Remember that though he was exalted, though he was rich, he became poor on our behalf, so that in his poverty, you and I might be rich. So he came and all of God's law was fulfilled. And even as a child, he was doing this. He was fulfilling all of the law, receiving circumcision, receiving the benefits of these sacrifices for sin, even though he knew no sin. And so Simeon sees this Savior. He takes the child Jesus in his arms and he blesses the Lord. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. By the Holy Spirit, Simeon speaks of Jesus as our Savior. God had kept his word. And not only was Simeon blessed by this personally, but he is given a glimpse of the extent of the salvation, the extent of this proclamation of peace that is declared in Jesus Christ. It's a glimpse that embraces those promises that we've been looking at throughout all of Scripture, a promise that Jesus would come as a Savior for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And I like the way that Hendrickson gives a vivid illustration of this. He says, imagine going up a high hill or a mountain to watch the sunrise. Maybe you've done this sometimes when you're out camping. You go out just as dawn is about to break and the sun is coming up and it hits you in the morning. And you are personally amazed and blessed by the appearance of the sun. But then you begin to notice that the sun is hitting not only you, but is beginning to light up the mountain around you. And you look further and you see as far as the eye can see that the light of the sun is touching them too and slipping down into the valleys to bring light there as well. And Simeon has this sense of a glimpse of the promise of God, that Jesus had come to bring salvation. He describes it as the glory of Israel. There's that primary means of Jesus coming into the world through this promised people. But it was always too small a thing that Jesus would save just the Jews, as Isaiah said. God set him as a light to the Gentiles as well. And Simeon says this. This is the Savior that is prepared before all eyes to see. All peoples see this. He's revealed as well to the Gentiles. And he uses that term salvation again to describe Jesus. This is God's salvation for us. And here I'm struck by the depth of Simeon's faith and its realization as he sees Jesus Christ. Remember the setting of Jesus' appearance. Israel is underneath the thumb of the Roman Empire. And there was this sense of stirring amongst Israel of a longing for a promised Messiah. But there was a mistake about that longing because they began to attach salvation to deliverance from the Romans. So there was a sense that God would send a warrior king who would lead them in revolution against the Roman armies and would deliver them. Sounds a little bit like my messages from 1 Samuel, doesn't it? Saul looked like a king. He was tall. He was handsome. This is our king. And it could be that in that context that Simeon could have leaned in that direction as well. Maybe he went to the temple that day thinking, maybe today is the day that I will see this kingly figure come into the courtyard of the temple, a great king who will lead us and deliver us. But it's this baby, this helpless child? Surely not. Simeon's faith is one that is realized, and it is expressed as he tenderly holds this child. And he recognizes the promise of God there, and he accepts that promise. This is what Jesus looks like. This is the promised Redeemer that God had given. This is salvation. He even goes on and speaks of that, of the nature of the redemption that would come to Mary and Joseph. He will be for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your soul. There's a hinting of the difficult path that Jesus would take. We know it is a path to the cross, of his death for us. And much more could be said about that, but today I want you to see the faith that accepts this Jesus, a faith that is realized, and the corresponding peace that comes upon Simeon as that is realized. The Lord may dismiss me now in peace, for I have seen your salvation. I want you to meditate on that today as you think about the Christian life. There is this element of peace that addresses the here and now, but also has a longing for what is yet to come. And the peace that is addressed right now is that we see Jesus. Not literally, but by faith, we know that Jesus has come. The Son of God became man. He suffered and died on the cross for our sins. He rose again bodily. He ascended into heaven. He is there mediating for us. And by faith, we know this. There is an already peace with God that is accomplished when you have faith in Jesus. But there's also this sense of longing, isn't there? There's a not yet aspect to our faith. And we wait in anticipation, expecting to see Jesus face to face. And there will be a day when that peace is complete. That peace when you see Jesus face to face at his second coming or upon your death, you will be immediately in the presence of God. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow or sickness or death. There will be no more sin. And all of those trials and chaos that buffet you today, the circumstances of this life, the sin that still easily ensnarls you, these things will be done away with completely forever. And oh, how we long for that day. You possess it right now, but anticipate it and wait for it and long for it. And by faith, expect it. God has promised it. It will come. As sure as the world, as sure as the promise of God, you will see him face to face. Let me turn back to the children of the congregation. It may be that today God is moving in your heart to recognize that there's turmoil there. There's sadness because of the sin that God is leading you to recognize. Maybe you are wondering how to solve that sadness. And I want to invite you to find peace in Jesus. I want to invite you to see that there is a Savior, that there's one who promised to forgive your sins. That Savior is Jesus. And I hope that you will come to recognize that he is the one who gives life. He is the one who gives peace. He is the one who will lead you to heaven itself. In Jesus, we do have peace. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the promised Savior that has come to save you from your sins. Let's bow in prayer. Well, Lord, we rejoice that in Jesus we do have peace. We thank you that we can know this peace even now, and that you have given us your word, and given us your sacraments to know this peace. We pray, O God, that you would bless us today with that peace, the already peace of our sins forgiven, and an expected peace that we anticipate being fulfilled when we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 85 declares that peace to us. In Psalm 85b, we say to each other, we profess to each other that the Lord proclaims his peace. Let's stand and sing of this. Psalm 85, selection B. Please stand to sing.